Everyone, welcome each one to the service this morning. Glad to see all of you that are able to be here this morning, all our visitors. We're privileged to have Brother Ron Bontrager and his wife Rachel with us this morning, and Ron will be bringing the message for us, so we'll look forward to that. Also glad to see Brother Morris here. So all of you visitors, we want you just to feel welcome. There's a lot of people missing this morning, a lot of sick people. So let's continue to remember them in our prayers. Ed Krupp has also specifically requested that we remember him in prayer. He's been improving slightly, but there's a long way to go there yet. So let's just pause for a moment here and have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just ask your blessing on this service here. And we ask your blessing on those who are not able to be here, for those who are feeling sick, that you would grant healing, for those that are perhaps traveling, that you would grant them safety, and for those who are meeting in other areas around the world, Lord, especially for places where they might be having to meet in secret, where there's oppression and persecution, that you would be near to them. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you have for us here, and that your word would go forth in power wherever it goes out today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a little story I read of a mom who is working to teach her daughter how to make good decisions, and especially the principle that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And she had been working with her daughter on this, and she felt like her daughter was at a place where she could now make some good decisions on her own. And so before church one morning, she gave her a dollar and a quarter and said, "You put one of these in the offering, and the other one you get to keep for yourself." And after church, she asked her daughter, "So which one did you put in the offering?" And the daughter said, "Well, I was going to put the dollar in. But then the preacher said that we should be cheerful givers. And I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I put the quarter in, so that's what I did." Well, if you would turn with me over to Mark chapter 12, I'd like to look at a story in the Bible here where just the opposite happened. The title of my devotional this morning is Two Mighty Mites. And there's a parallel passage to this over in Luke chapter 21, but I've chosen to read the one here out of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." A few observations I'd like to pull from this. The first one is that the amount isn't the important part. Now, it's important, I think, to notice here that Jesus did not condemn the rich men for giving much. And sometimes I think we tend to do that. We say, "Well, she just gave a little bit and they gave so much, you know, and these crazy rich men." Jesus did not condemn them for what they gave, but he did commend her for what she gave. The spirit in which it was given is what Jesus was making the point on here. The amount wasn't the important part. The effort was what Jesus noted. What was hard to give? Giving all that she had, all her living, my understanding is that means her subsistence. This is money that she would have used to maybe buy food with or to live with. It doesn't necessarily mean it was all the money that she had, but it was money that she would have used to live. It wasn't any extra. And as I think of this widow, it must have been a little bit intimidating for her to go in where all these people could see. If Jesus and his disciples were sat up there where they could watch and this was something they were doing, odds are they weren't the only ones. This is probably something people did. I mean, they didn't have social media, so they sat there and watched people giving. And this was kind of a thing that happened. And so she could have felt very insecure about this. that here, you know, she knows that these rich men are going to be coming and giving, and she knows some of them will be giving very portentously. You know, they're going to come out and they're going to make sure that people can see. And I don't know exactly what this means. You know, in my mind, I see these men with long flowing robes and very grandiose demeanors going in with these bags bulging with coins. I don't know if that's actually what it looked like or not. But regardless, she was going to be going in there with the smallest denomination of coin that was minted at that time. Teeny little coins. And she was going to have to go in there in front of everybody and drop these in, and everybody was going to see that. That's, I mean, it must have been fairly clear. I'm not sure exactly how the money went in there, but, you know, that this is what she put in, was these two mites. It wasn't something where she could just kind of sneak it in there to the side, and people thought, well, maybe she gave a whole denarius. You know, this was pretty clear. She gave in two mites. So that could have been really intimidating for her. But Jesus commended the fact that she was willing to do this. Another thing that I see is that God's counting then isn't the same as our counting. So that smallest coin, in the U.S., right now our smallest coin is a penny. There was a time where we had a half penny. We didn't, because it was in the late 17, early 18, or mid-1800s, and so none of us have used half pennies. But there was a half penny coin that was minted in the U.S. for that period of time. This is worth, a mite is actually worth a little bit more than a penny in that sense, in the way that we kind of figure our breakdown of money, because a denarius was about a day's wage, and a mite is 1/64th of a denarius. So I looked up what an average day's wage is in Missouri, and it varies incredibly widely, because you have people at McDonald's flipping burgers for minimum wage, then you have skilled laborers who are charging $75 an hour. So, but somewhere roughly around $160 a day is kind of an average-ish wage in Missouri right now. So that would mean that a mite is about $2.50. So her offering would have been about $5, just to put it in kind of our context. So not a lot you can buy with $5. But if you think about the fact that this was what she could have gone out and bought some food with, that's a significant amount. If she was giving a tenth, she was pulling in much less than a significant day's wage. And I can't help but think that she could have thought, you know, this is so small, this really doesn't matter. It's really not going to help, you know, whatever this money is going for. It's really not going to help that all that much. These rich men, they've got that covered. It really doesn't matter. But yet she was willing to. And that's what she was blessed for, because the actual amount isn't what counted. That's not how God counted it. Jesus recognized the total commitment, the willing sacrifice that was displayed by the widow's humble yet complete offering. And he blessed that. And I think that links back earlier in the chapter to verse 30, where it says, where Jesus was giving the first commandment, and he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And this widow's action was a true interpretation of that first commandment with her whole heart. She gave everything that she could, and she demonstrated the heart that God can use, the one that recognizes the important things and fully gives itself in the best way that it can. And then I see that God doesn't ask for much. The amount doesn't matter. God doesn't ask for much. He just asks for it all. And I think that this is a story about lives as much as it is a story about money. And it's important, I think, to remember that this isn't a parable. This isn't a story Jesus told. This is a true story that actually happened. This widow actually did this. This was a real person who was really struggling, and Jesus used it to illustrate a lesson. But it's a true story. It wasn't just a parable that he told to illustrate this lesson. And God can use lives like that, true, real lives that are fully given to him. Sometimes it's easy for me to look at situations in my life as maybe a parable, and I give myself symbolically, if that makes sense, because I want, you know, I would really like to sacrifice something here, and so I feel good about that feeling. But the widow actually gave what was difficult to give, and that's important for me, that I actually give. We can't keep back some parts of our lives for our own satisfaction and expect God to bless it. There's another story that I read of a lady who worked in the Philippines for many years and with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And her job there, what she was doing was actually she was a house parent for some of the missionaries. She helped take care of their children. And she loved books. And she had, you know, it was difficult, of course, to find lots of books in the Philippines. So she had brought books with her. And some of them she loaned out to others and was happy to loan out. But there were some books that were just a little bit too precious. And anybody who loves books, I think, can identify with that. There's some books that I don't mind if they go away and, you know, people forget to give them back. And I know I have at least one of Joseph's books that he hasn't seen in many, many years. But there's other books that we say, you know what, this one doesn't leave the house. This one's a little bit too precious. And she had some books like that, that she said, you know, I can't lend these books out. And so she had carefully placed them in a footlocker under her bed. And one night she was lying in bed and it was all quiet and she heard this gnawing sound. What in the world? And she started looking around and couldn't figure out where it was coming from and finally traced it to this footlocker. And she hadn't, you know, this thing had been closed up for quite some time because she couldn't bear to bring out these books and potentially have somebody ask to borrow them. So she opened this footlocker and here her precious books were a pile of dust. And the termites had gotten in there and eaten them. So the ironic thing was that the books that she gave away are the ones that she was able to keep, and the ones that she hoarded are the ones that she lost. And I think that same thing is true of our lives. We can't keep back some parts of our lives and still expect God to bless us or bless our lives. But that doesn't mean that we should give up if we're not where we want to be or where we know God wants us to be right now. We shouldn't give up. God meets us where we are, but then he brings us to the place that we should be. And that takes trust and commitment on our part, to trust him that he will take us to that place and to meet us where we are. And it takes humility to recognize that I'm not where I need to be, but I can trust God to lead me. And I believe that this widow had trust and confidence in God that if she gave this money, that he would provide for her and fill her needs. And earlier in the chapter, back in verse 17, well, actually several verses there, is where Jesus was talking some other money matters about about paying taxes. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And again, here we have this beautiful true story of someone living out his teaching. Right, what he had just said earlier in the chapter, fully giving to God the things that were God's. And that's such, I think, such a fitting conclusion and beautiful conclusion to this chapter, a real life example of what Jesus had been teaching. And the widow had no idea when she went to the temple that day, clutching those two mites in her hand, that her act of selfless sacrifice and dedication would be immortalized and looked to for inspiration for millennia to come. She was simply dedicated to what she knew to be right at the time. And we must also endeavor to live our lives, not in the hope of recognition or immortalization, but simply in dedication to the leading of God. And if we do, God will take our two lowly mites and he'll make them mighty. Let's kneel for prayer.